Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I am your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Before I share the episode with you today, I have to tell you about our free virtual MTSS mini summit on June 3rd. Our theme this year is behavior at the core. We are focused on integrating behavior supports at every tier. You will walk away with practical strategies and tools for climate and attendance. So check out the show notes to save your seats. Now on to our episode. High schools often find themselves in reactive cycles when it comes to supporting students with behavior needs, responding to situations rather than preventing them. Today on this episode, we're joined by Kristen Jones and Heather Terry from Norris High School in Nebraska to explore how their check-in, check-out intervention is creating more proactive support systems for students. We're excited to just talk about the small intentional practices that can make a big difference to fostering positive behavior for students. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I'm going to have you introduce yourselves, and one of you can kind of tell me a little bit about Norris and share with the audience what makes your school a great place to work and learn.
Sure. My name is Kristen Jones, and I'm the assistant principal at Norris High School. Norris is, I think it's kind of funny because many people think that Norris is a town because most schools are in a town, but actually our school is kind of in the middle of a cornfield. We have students from preschool through seniors in high school in four different buildings, all kind of on one campus. So it's kind of like a college campus, if you think of it in that term. But we have about 200 students per grade, and it is a rural school district in comparison to like some of the urban school districts like in Lincoln and Omaha, Nebraska.
I'm Heather Terry, and I'm an instructional specialist here at Norris, and my role is district-wide, so I'm in all four buildings, and so I do a lot of the Branching Mind data input and analyzing what we're putting in to help the admin at each of the buildings.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here and kind of talking about using some data-based decision-making to help support behavior. I feel like sometimes I get really nerdy when I sound really nerdy when I talk about behavior or data-based decision-making, especially because it feels very sort of separate from the relational work that a lot of us do with students that have some behavioral needs, but it's really important. The reason that I want to talk to you guys was because of some of the work that you're doing around the check-in, check-out intervention. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit about what does it look like for your team to support students with some of those behavioral needs? What are you doing to kind of be proactive in that way?
So I taught for 20 years before becoming an administrator 5 years ago. And one of my first tasks that my principal told me that it was my responsibility was leading our building MTSS team. And I wasn't quite sure what that all looked like and what was all involved with being in the MTSS team. And we really didn't have a consistent processes and consistent data pieces that we pulled together. Since that time, we've started looking at different buckets of data. We look at attendance data. We look at office managed and classroom managed behaviors. We look at nurse visits. We look at counselor visits and counselor recommendations of students who might need extra support and a variety of other buckets of data. But we pull that data once a week and then decide based on our decision rules. For example, grades, if they have two or more Fs, then they get leveled up to our district-wide tier two support, which is check-in, check-out. So every week I pull that data. We meet in teams, in our team, to actually look at the data and then decide which students get leveled and up and leveled down based on check-in, check-out information and our decision rules. Branching Minds kind of helps that because our check-in, check-out is housed in Branching Minds. Students pick a teacher they want to have as like the person they want to check in with at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, and then their teachers throughout the day mark them as either a 2, a 1, or a 0. And that's based on our Be a Titan PBIS acronym, being safe, being respectful, and being responsible. And so teachers will rate them a 2 if they are respectful, a 1 if they're not respectful, a zero if like they have shown zero effort. And we implement that intervention for 6 weeks' time. So it's kind of the nutshell of what that looks like. It's been kind of a learning curve for the high school because it was brand new in the high school. We didn't have a tier two check-in, check-out intervention like that. And I think Heather can attest to that. The other buildings all had like a paper version of a check-in, check-out. So it's a little bit easier, I think, for them to be able to then transfer to Branching Minds and be able to use check-in, check-out as a tier two intervention.
And on the flip side of it, on like the back side, I look at the Branching Minds. So I was the one that went into the Branching Minds and built the system that we used to assign for their progress monitoring and their intervention. And I'm also the one that admin will come and talk to me about like utilization. And so I can pull up that intervention tier or intervention utilization report and be like, well, only 40% of our teachers are, you know, completing the check-in and check-out data. So it's kind of on the back end of some of the things that I do.
Yeah. Well, and I imagine that sort of having kind of a system to do it makes a big difference in whether you're going to see results. Because like, I think sometimes the check-in, check-out, I know I've been a part of that where it's a sort of a last resort and we need some data around this kid. So let's use the check-in, check-out. But then the sheet gets lost because the kid's carrying it around to different teachers. And I feel like that it kind of can get really messy. And so like having sort of a system to track that, having a place to put those numbers makes a big difference. And I love that you talked about that's part of your decision. You have decision rules of why that you put this in place for a student. And I think that's really important, especially for secondary students. I love that you ask them, you know, getting their input. I think that's really important. Can you talk a little bit about the motivation behind implementing this kind of system or protocol? What was the challenge or the thing that prompted you like, hey, this is the step that we need to take?
The high school really had zero interventions. And I don't know if I think fairly typical for a high school just because our schedules aren't built in a way that allows interventions to be easily put into place to support our high school students. Our district went through a whole revision of our MTSS process and landed on the research-based tool or intervention that we're going to use consistently across the four buildings for tier two support is check-in, check-out. And so it was kind of a little bit easier for the high school. It wasn't something that we were brand new doing. It was a district initiative that we're helping to implement and support in the high school. Like the biggest challenge has been just getting staff on board to consistently follow and update rating scores on the computer system. So I send out friendly emails. I used to do it every day, like at a certain time. And then I think teachers were starting to block my emails because they hated seeing them come across their screens. But every once in a while, I'll send out like a, hey, don't forget these students run check-in, check-out. If you have these students, you should be updating their scores on a daily basis, just as a friendly reminder for them to update the scores. I know teachers get busy and I know they can, it's a pretty quick and easy entering in some data, but the piece I don't want to get lost is like the actual connection you're building with those students. So just friendly reminders to touch base with those students in your classes.
Well, and I think that's the part building sort of the belief in that this system can help students, right? I think there's always a back end work that you have to do with staff to get to buy into that. And so I understand that that's a, I think, really relatable challenge. I think many listeners would be like, yeah, I had struggled get the teachers to log in and log what they need to do. I feel like high school students kind of bring unique needs to sort of this kind of work. So having a tier two intervention is important, especially because you talked about some of your decision rules, one being that they're failing two classes or they have low scores. And I think that that's so important to notice because that's a proactive approach. Do you feel like some staff has been relieved of like, we have something to help these students before they just fall off the map completely?
I think so. I think definitely it gives a staff a chance to build those relationships with the students because that staff member who they talk to the beginning of the day, end of the day, might be the only adult they have like a good restorative conversation with every day and planning like, hey, what am I going to do today? And at the end of the day, what were your successes? What are you going to work on tonight when you get home? Those types of conversations, a little bit of consistency in that student's day. And so I think it does help provide some support for teachers and it gives them a broader picture of what's happening with that student because they may not know everything that's going on in the life of a student.
I think it also adds to like that teachers feel that support because they know that we are talking about those students in our school-wide MTSS because we send out like, or Kristen sends out weekly emails of like, these are the students that are on our radar. Well, it's the same students that are on their radar. So It's not that reactive that you were explaining earlier or describing, where they like come in with their hair on fire into the office, because we all they're all on our radar. We're all aware of where they're coming from, what plans are in place. And so then those teachers feel supported, I feel like, that we know about it before they come to us.
And the teachers can help to like support our initiatives too. I just heard from a teacher this morning. I send out like a list of the behaviors all semester. And once they hit 5 office or classroom managed behaviors, then they get elevated to check in, check out. And so I send a list out of the student's name. And then if it's disrespect, insubordination, like what the behavior is. And the teacher said he looks down that whole list and identifies which students he has in his classes, and then has one-on-one conversations with those students to be like, hey, I noticed you've been having some behaviors in the area of disrespect. Can you tell me more about that? Or how can we work together to improve those behaviors? Which I thought was really impactful, that a teacher's actually using that information, not just for his own classes and his own use, but also to improve, I think, the behaviors of students as a whole in our school.
That's really amazing. Well, and it's really important. I mean, that's collecting the data, right? You've collected data around those things, and you're using that to really inform, he's using that to inform his relationships with the students, or even inform practice. Because sometimes I think when you see collectively we're struggling with disrespect, or collectively we're struggling with this thing, it can be, oh, maybe there's also some tier one instruction that needs to happen.
Right, yes, right.
Tier one support, because that's kind of what he's doing, is, oh, maybe we need to talk or have some of those conversations with students. Really, essentially, check in, check out is a sort of a relational tool, right? Students have a positive relationship with an adult. It's a way to utilize that relationship to help the student. I think tracking that information, seeing the patterns and the trends for the student, if they're having a bad day, there's ways to utilize that data. How do you feel some of your support staff, I'm thinking particularly like school counselors or other people, how do they respond in the team? Are they able to have like really rich conversations around this kind of data to make some broader decisions, or even to like support specific students?
I would say so. They, you know, they're always in those meetings, and they're always talking about, you know, when we get to the family list, they're like, yep, we've talked to them. We've already had these conversations. You know, we have a plan in place. So it's very much collective. We're all on the same page. We all have our parts that we own. And, you know, our school psych's in those meetings. She's the one that really looks at the check-in and check-out data to be like, okay, they're ready to maybe move to a small group, or maybe they can layer down and just go back to class, you know, and be dismissed or whatever. So I feel like we're all on the same page in that. And that data that they know that we all use just helps keep us all on the same track. And we're not just pulling here, this little tidbit, this little tidbit.
So we also have, this is really interesting, I think, we have our new school resource officer this semester or this year, and he volunteered to be a member of our MTSS teams in all of the buildings. So he actually comes, like, for example, to the high school meeting, and we can have him give us updates on like if there's any law enforcement interactions with a family that might be on our radar as maybe a student struggling. Well, not like giving too much information away, but also like just providing some information in terms of how we can best support a student and their family if they're struggling.
I love that, because I think that that's an essential part. I mean, he plays an essential role in student safety. And, you know, I think that's a great add to your MTSS team.
His idea was great. Like, he volunteered and I said, that is perfect. Come along. We'll have you on the team. Great.
Yeah. So I'm curious about some maybe specific examples for the audience of how you've seen the effectiveness of the check-in, check-out so far this year.
One specific example, we have a student who came to us from another school about, I'd say, maybe 2 months ago. So kind of in the middle of second semester. And it always makes us a little bit nervous when someone transfers, like in the middle of a semester, like what is the reason for transferring to a school? Is it moving? Is it because a parent lost a job? Like, what is the situation, the circumstance for that? The student hadn't gone to school at all first semester at his previous school. He had transferred in grades between a 0% and 8% in all of his core classes as a freshman. And so we hooked him up with his first period teacher. And that first period teacher has really built a relationship with that student. At first, he was putting his head down. He wasn't talking. He wasn't participating in anything. And the teacher was very consistent with him, applied very consistent, kind of like the tough love theory, like we're following the school rules, you're tardy, you have time to make up, but also how can we best support you? and that student has a really good relationship with that teacher right now, and his attendance has greatly improved. He knows that like we care about him, and we're going to check in with him, and we want to know where he's at and how he's doing. And that's a really great example from the high school.
I would also say too, just that transition from the middle school to the high school, particularly this class, a freshman, just that transition was kind of hard. So we started the year with some of them pretty much right away on check-in and check-out, and now they're doing okay. They are maturing. They're becoming high schoolers.
Oh, that is a rough transition. They really struggle with that. I mean, I was an eighth grade teacher for a lot of it, and they started to panic second semester. So I can imagine. And I think that that's a great example of just how the consistency matters. Because I think that there's something about, you know, you tell teachers, build relationships with students, and maybe they have 150 students or 100 students in their between all their classes or less. And the amount of time that it takes to build relationships with every single one of those students is really hard. And so I think that this way, it's like giving a teacher going, hey, this specific student needs a relationship more than maybe some of the other students do too. But I don't know. I just feel like sometimes that consistency, that charge to do it daily, we forget how powerful that is to make a difference in a student's life.
And it does really help that we are one campus. All the students from our middle school come to our high school. We don't have four middle schools coming to our high school. So that consistency of how we use check-in and check-out starting in elementary, you know, it evolves as they go through for the needs of the building. But those kids are, we know who they are in the middle school. We know who they are in the high school. So we're unique in that aspect of these are our kids, no matter what building they're in.
I would say too, that really helps. It helps with some of the grade transitions, and it helps that you can have some consistency there. I would love for you to talk a little bit about bringing the teachers on board. I know we kind of mentioned this earlier, but is there anything specific training that you've done with teachers or any professional development around sort of this strategy or even how you're using check-in, check-out this year?
Yeah. Well, honestly, it all kind of came into fruition the same time that we implemented using Branching Minds as our data warehouse. And so we first did some training on Branching Minds, just the nuts and bolts of how to get into the system, how to look up different students, how to access information. And then we also implemented classroom managed behaviors being entered into Branching Minds by teachers. That was kind of step one, as they entered in the behaviors. And then we talked through like decision rules on if it's a classroom managed behavior or if it gets escalated to the office and how to actually enter that into Branching Minds. And so then a piece of that to extend it further was the check-in, check-out process. The next step was educating staff on, first off, like what is check-in, check-out and the purpose of check-in, check-out, and then kind of leading them through Branching Minds, which was primarily led by our school psychologist, one of them. She's kind of in charge of putting some of that information into Branching Minds and getting it set up so that students will show up for teachers to check-in, check-out electronically with staff. So we've done several trainings like that, where to find the information, how to log your score for a student, and then several just reminders like before we actually got like a routine started. So we'll have our meeting this afternoon on a Thursday. We'll pull student names of students that will qualify for check-in, check-out. I'll log them into a spreadsheet. Our school psychologist, I'll tag her in it, and then she'll upload them into Branching Minds and set it up. And then we have emails that we send out to families that they're being leveled up to this intervention. And then also to staff members, if they will have the student check in, check out, or if they chose them as like their mentor teacher to check in at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. And I don't think the training's really ever over. Right now, it's just maintenance and getting new staff on board, but then also just reminders of not only how to do it, but also just the importance of doing it. And I think one area of growth for us is to just share the success stories of students like that are succeeding as a result of developing those sound relationships with their teachers at school.
I do think it helps teachers to buy in, for lack of better words, of doing this when they know that the data is being reviewed and it's not just being put on Branching Minds and going away. Like, they know that there's a team of us looking at it and that we'll nudge them if they need some reminders. But I feel like that has helped a lot. Like, if you help us, we'll help you by keeping this data so it doesn't get to a crisis point. We can help support you in the classroom. So that helps too, I believe.
Yeah, I think that that's so important, like, because it does, one, sharing the success stories, right? Sharing this is working and here's some examples of how. And then also, I think letting them know that, like, hey, you're not just putting this in here for no reason. Because I think you don't need another thing on your plate to do. And it's just data that goes out into the ether and you never see it again, or it doesn't really matter, right? I love what you had said earlier on of some of this stuff does really help teachers feel like they're supported. Hey, you're seeing what I'm seeing with this student and there's, you're doing something about it. Because I think that, especially when it comes to either behavioral needs or academic needs or any of this stuff, I think there's times, especially as I think secondary teachers experience this in the classroom, where they feel they're one adult and they're dealing with all the students and maybe they don't see another adult for a few hours of the day. And it's like, I'm not alone in the challenges that I have with a student, right? The student that puts their head down and doesn't say anything day after day after day. It's helpful to feel that you're on a team and that you're all working towards the betterment for the student. I think that makes a big difference. I would love for you to talk a little bit about what you would say to other schools or, you know, other teams that are trying to streamline some of this process in a better way to just support high school students. Because in particular, I know we talk about MTSS as a whole, you know, K-12 a lot, but I think the high school has a unique challenge in that there's a lot going on in a student's life and it feels a lot more urgent to support those needs than it did maybe earlier on. And maybe talk about how you sort of went about streamlining some of this process to make it easier.
I think it's been just a gradual process of implementing little bits at a time. And I always hate it when people use cheesy sayings, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, you know? Like, that's kind of what this is like. Like, first we had to identify, like, what kind of information do we have? Do we need to collect other information that we're not collecting? How are we going to use this information that we're collecting? Like, we're not just going to pull grades and say, yep, these kids are failing, with like no real purpose of what to do. But it's just been a little bit by a little bit by a little bit. And it went from creating like one of the biggest impetuses for starting this was actually helping staff determine if what they're seeing in the classroom is a classroom managed behavior or an office managed behavior. And so we led staff through like a workshop where they had to put like a green sticky for classroom managed and a red sticky dot by the office managed, and then kind of helping staff to develop like those norms of what they should be dealing with in classroom and what should be elevated to the office. And then that kind of led to how we should document behaviors. And that led to like Branching Minds and the data warehouse. And it all kind of built on one another. So it's not something that you're going to do overnight, but something that definitely took, I'd say we've been working on this for over 5 years. Yeah. And kind of developing it. And we still don't have all the pieces together that I'd like to have. Like, I think we're really lacking yet on tier 3 interventions and even some tier 2 interventions academically in the high school. We just don't have a lot right now. That's kind of like our next step, is how can we use our current day-to-day schedule to help support students who need extra math help or targeted reading help or different things like that.
I would also say too, just patience in the process. I know that, you know, we get in the grind where we're like, this isn't working, try something new. And so then we have 100 things going and then nothing's working and teachers shut down completely. So the patience of the process of implementing check-in and check-out and sticking with it and reviewing and reflecting and going back to that data so that, nope, this is how we're doing it. And we don't have 100 tier 2 things in place. We have one. And then we go from there. We call it 2.5 in the middle school, where we have more of an individualized check-in and check-out. But I think that has made it easier for teachers to understand the importance, because we didn't just throw things at them. And yes, it took patience and time, but it was important that we did that.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's something to say about having the check-in, check-out as your one kind of one tier 2 intervention. There's a lot of maybe little interventions that go into that one, right? Because you're not just building a relationship with the student. You're also seeing what they need. Is there another need that they have that we can support? Or, you know, if it's they're in tier 2 because of their academics versus a behavior, you know, I think that there's some stuff that you'd probably do within the check-in, check-out that you're not necessarily making it super systematic, but you're still doing it, I think is what I'm saying.
Sorry. The longer we've stuck with it too, and that they see those trends in like how we're using the data, you know, Mondays are a rough day. They get 0s. Well, how can we make that transition plan from the weekend to them coming back to school on Monday? And it was all check in and check out that we're getting this data that we can make those types of plans for.
Yeah, I think, well, and I would say like there's probably attendance plans that come from this, and there's probably other small group stuff that comes from this kind of information. I really love that you sort of talked about how it was a slow process. I would love to hear a little bit about what you're seeing as sort of the next steps. You talked a little bit about some kind of figuring out your academic stuff. Do you feel like that there's other things to do as far as supporting students social, emotionally, or behaviorally that is kind of for the next level as well?
I definitely think so. The high school also is the last building to add in tier one social, emotional, like learning tier one standards into our school. And so we enact Character Strong lessons once a month. And so that's been kind of like a new thing. But I think kind of to build on that, using check-in, check-out, then we just started to have some small groups, some on like executive functioning, some on like study skills, those types of things, but even expanding that more in our schedule and just kind of finding out when in the school day we could actually have successful small groups. Like I said before, too, academic interventions would be great. And those are some on the top of my head right now.
Yeah, I would agree with the things that she said is just moving to more tier two and tier three things in place, and even the reflection on tier one. I would say, you know, our MTSS systems too in place. We have a lot of failing students. Then we look back at our tier one, a little reflection of what's happening in the classroom. So just maybe not forgetting about tier one as we move forward to tier two and tier three as well.
I am curious too, you know, whether you're seeing that impact maybe academically, like in student outcomes. Like, are you seeing some of the, like, through this tier two work? You know, even though you're not necessarily maybe directly working on the academic stuff, are you seeing sort of some of that movement for students that they start to perform better because you're supporting them in this maybe relational way?
It kind of just depends on, I think we are seeing it, yes. It also kind of depends on the student's overall motivation academically, if they're in the intervention as a result of academic performance. I always tell them, like, the goal is to eventually not be on check-in, check-out. The way to get off of check-in, check-out is to pass your classes. And so teachers can use that and have conversations with the students. Many times it's just like an organization issue that the student is having in making up assignments or scheduling exams or different things like that if they've been out ill or something like that. So we have definitely seen movement. I think one of the struggles we see sometimes for staff is to see some of the students that are in need of most of our supports can be on check-in, check-out for a long time. And they say, like, well, what good is it doing? Like, they're never moving off of check-in, check-out. But also we have to kind of change that mindset and think about these are the students that need most of our support. It makes sense that they're on check-in, check-out for a long time because they need our support. This might be the only support they have in their life.
Yeah. Something I wanted to mention, and this is what I was thinking about this earlier, is just that the fact that you kind of creatively using the tools you had and the schedule you have, you mentioned it, that there, it's hard to figure out how to schedule tier two interventions. I think like academically, that's a super hard thing at the secondary level. And so I do feel like something uniquely that you're doing is like using the schedule you have to make sure that this tier two intervention happens. And it's not because it's not a class. It's not like a time that you have to necessarily pull them out of class to do this intervention. So I think that that's kind of unique. And I think that that's something I would just mention to the listeners is thinking about, you know, you're oftentimes that master schedule is so difficult to maneuver to make the time happen. So this is a great starting place to have to implement those tier two interventions. Are there any other recommendations that you have for people who want to do this kind of work with specifically the check-in, check-out?
I would say have a team and that you guys can discuss and review. Be patient with it. And like, you almost have this backup to move forward. So like backup to, as we talked about, and talk about your tier one, talk about your decision rules before you can really move forward and jump right into the check-in and check-out. So have those decision rules of who's going into check-in and check-out, what are we looking at, and then having that clear understanding of your tier one processes as well to look at those. So you kind of have to back up a ways before you can even jump right in.
And I think, too, to have decision rules, but also know that based on the data you're getting back, you may need to adjust those decision rules from time to time. Like, say, for example, geometry has a super hard exam, and a lot of the students fail the geometry exam. You run the data, and suddenly there's an extra 30 kids that need check-in, check-out that week based on that, because they have two Fs. Well, you might go to, okay, let's look at just the three Fs this week, because I think these two Fs, a lot of them have an F because of the geometry grade. And so just knowing like how not to overload your systems, that all of your staff can support these students on check-in, check-out, you might need to change your decision rules for a time being, just that you can, you know, survive in your school.
Yeah. Well, I just appreciate this conversation so much, because I do think that talking about a very specific kind of intervention can really help other high schools to really think about, like, you know, how can we kind of systemize or make protocols to support students in a way that actually makes a big difference. And check-in, check-out is such an easy intervention to do. So I'm so glad for you guys to be here and tell me more about it. So I appreciate you sitting down with me.
Well, thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.